Welcome to the Grace Hour Show, a Christian program that takes a dive into our daily challenges and helps us learn our faith in a practical way. My name is Paul Androlonis. I'm joined in the studio by my dad, Pastor Steve Androlonis, and we change it up. It's me instead of Philippe, and this week we're talking about change. And
wow.
Before we do that, how are you doing, Dad?
I'm okay.
Yeah.
I'm, you know, like I said, yeah.
You're okay. Okay.
I'm okay. Everything's, I mean, it's a good Monday in August. Yeah. Summer's going by really fast. Yeah. So I feel okay.
Yeah. But it's supposed to be Tuesday because that's when this episode's coming out. But
that's true. Okay. Oh, I'm sorry about that. That's true.
But that's fine. That's
it
good.
Is Tuesday. I'm sorry. It's Tuesday. That's right. Jesus. I mean, you know, it was so hot and now it's nice and
it's great.
Will it get hot again?
Winding down change. The summer months.
Winding down the summer months.
Ready for
that's
Bible
right.
College and
that's the truth.
The school
we are
year
getting
to start
ready
and all those different things. Vacations are finishing mm-hmm. up. We have camp life coming up and mm-hmm. God is moving. He's doing things.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. The week's topic is change and it's an interesting one. I think we have a conversation, a great conversation that we'll have today, thinking about how things are changing, how the world is changing, and how we adapt to the changing world. What grounds us? What centers us? And maybe do you want to start off the conversation? Maybe we can just talk about change and the idea of change first, and then we can kind of talk about how we adapt to the changing world.
Well, it's interesting that you mention Bible college because this semester my assignment is to teach church history, the first 1500 years. Mm-hmm. And so as you teach through that, you see how the church was at the beginning and then how it sort of had to adapt. Well, first survive basically because we can read the opposition that happens in the Bible itself, the book of Acts, we mm-hmm. see we have martyrdom happening.
Yeah.
People dying. Stephen, James, the brother of the apostle John, he is executed. So you see that they were bringing a new understanding of the word of God because Jesus had taught them and Jesus had lived it before them. And then when you go through church history, we see that there became a point in time when no longer were they an underground, so-called dangerous sect of religion. They became actually very acceptable and political. It became politically expedient to be a believer in, to be a so-called believer in Jesus. Because that, you know, when that change happened, then the dynamic of the church happened. So, So when we read through church history, we see that Christianity has faced certain challenges of different kinds over the course of the centuries.
Yeah.
And so, how did they adapt to that? How did they handle that? And how did it change the way church looked and was practiced? And things like that. So time goes on. We know that.
Yeah.
We know that only Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The original pastor of our ministry, Dr. Stevens, taught a whole series back in the 70s called The Eternal Is, speaking of God as I am who I am, Yahweh. And he used to make this statement that, you know, yesterday is gone forever, now just passed by, and tomorrow does not exist today, which is a way of saying that change is constant.
Yeah.
And, the world for the Christians in the book of Acts was that they were always hounded, always hunted, always persecuted. They were not an acceptable. Then the world changed for them and they had to adapt to that new. And did they adapt well? That's the question.
Yeah.
You know, now here we are in a world where we meet people on the street who have no idea who Jesus is, some of them. Mm-hmm. They've never heard of it, you know, which is like when I was younger, you know, most people when, you know, 80% of the people that I knew went to some sort of church, and they understood Jesus, and they understood Christmas to be about the birth of Jesus. And now you might find somebody on the streets who has no comprehension. He's had no exposure to any shade of the gospel. And so that's a, you know, that's a different, how do you adapt to that?
Yeah.
It adapt, because you can't just like, you know, Jesus loves you.
Yeah.
And like, and the question comes back, who's Jesus? You know,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
That's
so that's
true.
A, you got, we got to adapt as, as believers to a new dynamic.
I mean, one of the things you said, that change is constant, is something that I think it's a simple phrase.
It's a simple phrase.
But it's something that maybe we don't realize or don't think about as much, that really nothing is staying the same.
Yes.
In our life.
Yes.
We want things to stay the same. We want to the set it and forget it type of situation. We want to check the boxes or have our life be put in a particular place where we don't have to worry or don't have to worry about things falling apart or breaking up or having to do something about it. But the reality is that change is something that's very real and is something that is always happening. Progression, deterioration, growth, the shrinking away or falling away. There are things that are happening all the time. And how we handle, how we look at change and how we acknowledge it and how we deal with it is an important aspect of, as you express, as it relates to church history, it was important for the development of the church and the progression of the church, but for each one of us as individual people as well, how we view change and how we adapt to change is an important aspect of our growth, our faith, our lives, because like I said, things are going to change. Nothing is going to stay the same. We, from the moment that we are born to the moment that we die, things are not the same. And how I view that, how I see that, and responding to it is an important aspect of our life, an important thing for us to consider. Because, like I said, we want things to be the same. We want things to, we are trying to keep things constant, keep things the same in some ways, but that implies that that thing is good and the appropriate thing, but also like things are always changing. I've used this picture of like, or this illustration that we have a reference photo for our life.
Okay.
And we want our life to look like the reference photo. Like when I was a kid, I wanted to be a professional basketball player. I wanted to play the basketball. That was a picture I had for my life. And at some point I remember it. I had a conversation with you. I don't remember how old I was, maybe 13 or 14 or something, in the midst of that pursuit of my dream. And you said, Paul, you're probably not going to be a professional basketball player. So my reference photo for my life is now changing. After I got upset and after I said, stop crushing my dreams, Dad, of realizing that it was probably true and I probably wasn't going to the NBA, but there is an adjustment that I need to make. And the reference photo that we have for our lives changes. And we are trying to make our life look like this reference photo, maybe, but we have something that doesn't change. We have someone that doesn't change that can be the place that we look in the midst of all this change. And as you mentioned, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And in Malachi 3:6, it says, for I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore, O children of Jacob, you are not consumed. Like God doesn't change, so that in the midst of all the change in our life, in the midst of all the turmoil we experience, when our dreams get crushed, when our pursuit of a career doesn't meet the expectations we want it to, when the hard work I put into something doesn't return the investment, the return on the investment isn't what I think it should be, we have somewhere that we go and a person that is there that can really encourage us, and we can have that point we can go back to in the midst of all that change.
That's true. So we do have a book of the Bible that sort of gives us a good way to process change. And the thing is that I think adapt might be a strange word. We're talking, how do we adapt? And I think a better word might be, how do we center our thinking? maybe that's the better word, because I'm looking at the book of Job, and Job loses everything, and then he gets, he loses all of his children, loses all of his possessions. Then he loses his health. He has a skin disease. His wife is tortured by the sight of him at this point. She says, why don't you curse God and die? And then he has three friends that don't talk to him. And then when they do start talking to him, they start telling him, the reason things changed in your life was because you committed some sort of sin. So just do some sort of religious kind of exercise to get back in good graces with God, mm-hmm. and life will be the same again. And Job refused to lie about the situation. Because I do think that in hyper-religious situations, legalistic things, you just do the thing that you think is going to make you acceptable to God. And the fact is that do you cling to the reality that God never leaves you nor forsakes you? Joshua chapter 1, and that's also Hebrews 13, 5. God will never leave you nor forsake you. And in the midst of Job's trials, we get a lot of complaining. We get a lot of him really asking God why this is happening to him. He's not, you know, he's not, his language doesn't speak, you know, in James, he said Job was a patient person. But when you read the book, you realize Job was just whining and complaining. He was just, and he had, we would say, because we're looking at it from the story point, we know the
outcome.
Well, we know the outcome, and we also have, we're omniscient. We know the whole story. We know what's behind the story. Because Satan is saying, you change his situation, he's going to curse you. And God allowed the change. But that, you know, when we see, I see a statement that I think that he clung to. He said, I know my Redeemer lives. And that at the last day, I shall see him in my flesh. So he had an understanding of the Redeemer. He had an understanding of resurrection life. And I think that is like, when we're in the midst of change and things seem to be falling apart, and there's things that we can't keep up with the velocity of things that are changing around us, I think we have to center our heart and our thinking on the fact that, yes, Jesus lives. He ever lives to make intercession for us. He's our advocate before the Father, and that we shall see him. This is the promise. Can I hold to those promises? I think the, you know, how do I adapt? It's just, I don't adapt. I cling to what I know from the Bible. And here we see, this is 19 chapters into a 42 chapter book. So we know there's been a lot of argument and everything, a lot of complaining by Job. And then he just comes out with this statement that and though he try me, I will come forth as gold. That's another statement. I'm not exactly sure where that is. But in both situations, he is clinging to the reality that he has a living relationship with a living God. And just the fact that God is living and we are living means that there's growth, and there's, you know, we can become closer or more distant depending on how we handle the situation, how I handle the situation. God doesn't move, but I could create a distance between us.
Yeah, I think like the clinging, the recognition of the Lord as the anchor point in our life, having that be the place that we return to, having that be the person that we return to, so that we can be able to see the changes, see the differences that take place in our life through the lens and with the light of who he is on it, recognizing, okay, maybe these things will change. Maybe this thing that I thought was constant, this thing that I thought would always be the same, that has now changed. Maybe Christ is using it for something greater to take place in my life. And I think we can really restrict God. We can restrict how we see God moving in our life when we experience the changes that happen. Because like I said, I was thinking of it with, there's like generationally, there are different ways that change is perceived. Over the last, who knows how long, 200 years, 250 years, the advances in technology, the advances in development have been exponential as compared to the previous thousands of years that took place. Now, obviously, there were advances in science, and with the Reformation, and the Renaissance with art and poetry and all these different things. But over the time, like since the United States has been in existence, Kimmy and I were just driving through Baltimore the other day thinking of like 250 years ago, none of these things were here. None of these buildings existed. None of the sewers, none of the streets, none of these things, none of these cars were here that long ago. And how much has changed between then and now is something that can be overwhelming to think of, but it is something that kind of is a sobering or like brings you to a place of like, okay, how much can change within a short time frame or over time, and how God doesn't change and how impactful that can be in the midst of all these things. And thinking about the development, technological developments, all these different things, especially in our world now with, you know, technology and AI and all these different things that are coming about, like there's a concern for things changing. And I think, as I was saying, generationally, there can be a pushing away or a holding on to the way things are, hoping to not change. And then there can be the other end of the spectrum where it's like, everything's got to change. And I don't know, I'm not saying one way is right or wrong, but recognizing those viewpoints and the spectrum that is in between them where, okay, I don't think everything is not going to stay the same, but trying to keep everything the same, you know, there's two political viewpoints that correspond to these two ends of the spectrum with a liberal viewpoint or a conservative viewpoint. But the reality is there's those where I am, everything's got to change or nothing can change, which I don't think that there is, that is, there's something in between and there's a balance between those things where we sit, but God being that reference point for us so that when things do change, I am okay because I'm settled in who God is. And when things stay the same, I'm okay because I'm settled in who God is. And I think that our viewpoint on change and how we experience it, how we relate to it, is something that when we see it through the light of who Christ is, we don't make too much of it and we don't make too little of it in our life because we know who he is and we're settled in that. And really our perspective of who God is actually growing and changing and expanding. And this is where the verse that came to my mind was Romans chapter 12, verse 2. When thinking about change, we have the Apostle Paul writing here in verse 2 of Romans 12, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." And these words, conformed and transformed, both imply change. Both one, I am being conformed. I am changing who I am to be more like the world.
Yes.
And the second one, being transformed, is a total transformation, metamorphosis from who I am into who God is has designed me to be through him, through the life of Christ flowing through my veins. So this verse is about change. It's just, how am I changing and how am I relating to that change? And what is the way that I recenter myself or adapt? You know, you said adapt is maybe not the word, but how do I relate to the change that's going to happen and the renewal of my mind? Having my mind be renewed is a way that I can not be conformed to or change all the time because the world is always changing, but be transformed and be able to experience that change without losing who I am.
Yeah, the two words are important because there's a gradation there, a great gradation of meaning there. When change comes and you conform to it, you know, what is changing? The circumstance has caused you to step into something. Like it says, be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So when you're conforming, it's like you're allowing the process of change to you know, you assimilate, to assimilate you, mm-hmm. to conform yourself to that. Okay, I'm going to fit into that. They think this is like what we should
mold,
be.
There's a mold and I want to fit into that mold.
Yeah, just follow the, you know, like I'm a routine person. People know I'm, you know, my family knows the routines that I have. Mm-hmm. And you know, when that routine is broken or disrupted some way, then I have a choice to make. Mm-hmm. You know, I try to stuff it back in and conform myself to, you know, make my life conform to what I had no control over, or I can transform, which I think, you know, transform, transcendence, they mean the same kind of thing. It's like it's taking us beyond yeah. where we are. Transportation, it's a mm-hmm. you know, it means it's taking us somewhere else, mm-hmm. you know. And you know, I could either, you know, so do I want to adapt, do I want to accommodate mm-hmm. the change? That's a, maybe a better word. I want to mm-hmm. accommodate myself to the change, allow myself to be changed, or do I want to let God renew my mind and mm-hmm. be transformed? Like, the world is not staying the same. The world, we are not friends of the world. If we are a friend of the world, then we, you know, we become an enemy of God's purpose. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think we can ever become an enemy of God personally. I mean, he is the enemy of those who don't serve him. Mm-hmm. But the fact is that he's not an enemy that wouldn't welcome one who chose to serve him, mm-hmm. you know, and snap out of their opposition to him. But I think that's the thing, like, you know, when, you know, in the changing culture that we're going to live in for the next mm-hmm. 20 or so years, you know, having a mind that is renewed day by day is going to take us beyond what we see, mm-hmm. and we won't be, you know, captured by that. And so, mm-hmm. You know, that's, you know, how do you, I guess that's the thing, is you just got to expect it. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the problem with someone who's like over routined, mm-hmm. you know, if my routine gets fractured, then do I spin it? Yeah, I can lose it. I can. Oh, that's not the way it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
I thought we were doing this, you know, uh-huh. we always do it this way.
Yeah.
But yeah. You know, yeah. So that, you know, that's the thing. I think you have to give yourself to the fact that you're not going to live in the same circumstances,
yeah.
maybe tomorrow,
yeah.
you know, because today is a beautiful day. Tomorrow, will the humidity come in and all of a sudden mm-hmm. You're sweating like a, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
I don't, you know, somebody said you sweat like a pig. I don't do pig sweat. Yeah. They seem to roll around in the mud a lot, but mm-hmm.
recognizing that things are changing, recognizing that we have this reference point, we have this foundation, this anchor that allows us to not be pulled around or tossed to and fro by the wind. We definitely have adjustments to be made and ways that we can serve the Lord and ways that we can grow in this change. And like you were saying, the conforming versus transforming, it goes back to that reference photo that I mentioned before. I could have a picture of what my life is supposed to look like, but if I am trying to make my life look like that picture, then my life can only be as good as that picture. Like, my life can't be better than that picture. My life can only be as good as that. My life is limited to that perspective that I have, which can be a preserving type of thing. Like, this is my life. This is my habit. I do this. Mm. I do this. I do this. Every Christmas we do this. Every New Year's we do mm-hmm. this. Every week I have the things that I do, which are safe and which are the things that I'm familiar with, you know, and the things that I want to preserve and to keep. But there can be, actually the restriction can keep me from the change that God wants to do in my life.
Mm-hmm.
The change that is possible where, okay, maybe if I tried adjustment and maybe if I changed my habit, if I changed my schedule, if I changed this thing that I'm so want to keep the same way, what if, like, God could bless it and it could be have an amazing impact on me, and not only me, but the world? I see this, you can see this in when people are trying to parent kids. Like, you want like, oh, I wish I could keep them in this place forever. I mm-hmm. wish they could just be my little boy or my little girl forever. Mm-hmm. Because then as they grow up and they start making their own choices, there are things that are changing and I'm not comfortable with the change, or I'm not comfortable with these adjustments that are being made in their life, and I'm not in control. I think this is really coming back to, like, we want to be able to control these different things. But there are blessings that God brings in those opportunities, in mm-hmm. the changes that happen. There are things exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think that God does in the midst of change. And I'm not saying that changing for just change's sake, to change something up, if it's not broke, don't fix it type of thing. But is it possible that change could bring more glory to God, and I'm keeping it from happening because I don't want something to change? And I think it's like, it's a hard thing. I've seen it in my own life where I'm like, okay, this is what you want me to do. And I'm like, God, why won't you let this happen? And he said, Paul, you're the reason why it's not happening. And having that realization, like, okay, things might need to change. I might need to change in order for this to be something that God, and that God could use for his glory. And then in that same way, I'm actually being drawn closer to the Lord in that change. Mm-hmm. Because if I'm being constrained, if I'm keeping something from changing, maybe I don't need to actually know God as closely or be connected to him as much. I can have my habits, and my habits happen, and then mm-hmm. I don't want it to change because it disrupts my habits, but also I don't really need God.
Well,
because I know how this is all going to go.
Yeah.
And then, oh wait, it changes. Oh, now I need God. But what if I was just used to that being the normal standard operating procedure? Is things are changing and I need God. And I need God, and God is there in the midst of the change, and I'm drawing closer to him, and I'm able to enjoy the difference, to enjoy the development. And, you know, maybe there's aspects of change that I won't enjoy, where things that I once loved or did, or things that I cherished now are not part of my life anymore.
That's right.
And that's okay, because I have God.
Yeah.
And he could bring new things that I love and that I cherish into my life, but I'm holding on too tight to something else. I can't let go of that thing in order to grab onto the other thing.
Well, I think if we could bring a practical element in, I think, you know, Psalm 119 is like the longest book of the Bible. It's mm-hmm. also a very organized book of the Bible. In the Hebrew, every stanza relates to a Hebrew letter. So if you were to read it in the Hebrew, you would see the statements made begin with the letters.
Yeah.
Aleph, and then Bet, and then Gimel, Dalet, those things. And so when we think about it, when you read through that, you know, it says, great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. That happens late in the Psalm after mm-hmm. you've learned. You know, I think it's 165, you know, I think it's 119, 165 in the last stanza. Mm-hmm. And then at certain points it says, it was good that I was afflicted, that I might learn to trust your statutes. I think, you know, if we're going to address this idea of adaptability, you know, one, are you realistic? Okay. Mm-hmm. I woke up this morning one day older than I was yesterday.
Yeah.
And as we joked before the show, I need to get my hearing checked because my hearing was not once what it was, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know.
I mean, you can act like, I could act like I could run up and down a basketball court and dunk or do whatever. It's like, but the reality is that's not who I am.
That's true.
We can have those dreams and aspirations of what once was or how we think we are. And that's a real reality check. When you have played a sport and then your mind thinks you can do the things you used to be able to do.
Yeah.
And then your body hits you with reality and you realize you can't do the things that you do. Your body, your legs are sore. You can't jump as high as you once did. And I think that's applicable in other areas. You know, we have this is what I've always done, or this is where I've always been, or this is the things that I've always, that I do. And I mean, we see this more and more in our life, where the people that we have done them with, or the people that have done things, maybe, you know, change is constant. Change, it's going to happen. It's, you know, people are passing away and going home to be with the Lord. That is a change that we don't enjoy, but it is a change that, I mean, they're probably excited about that change, being in heaven, maybe, seeing the Lord face to face. But anyway.
Well, I think, you know, well, another Bible verse that's pretty important in this to think about is Matthew 11, when Jesus said, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." So again, there's a not being naive about the world that we lived in and the opposition that we face, but you're yoked up with someone who is eternal. And I know that Christ experienced the reality of human change by living among us. So, you know, there's a couple of concepts that we could have of God. You know, God really doesn't understand what it's like to be me. And that's a concept of many religious orientations. But when we talk about Jesus becoming human and living a life as a human, then we understand that as an intercessor, and Hebrews tells us that he learned obedience by the things that he suffered, and we don't have a high priest who is not touched by the consequences of our infirmities. So this is, again, something that I think it comes back to the verses that you used from Romans, is like, will you allow your mind wakes up in the morning different than it was yesterday. It might not have had a good sleep. You might have had like a really strange dream. I don't dream as a lot, but I'm married to someone who dreams all the time. And like people who are gone show up in her dreams. And, you know, it's not very restful from what I understand, that you're running and chasing and thinking and reacting, and it's not really happening. But you wake up and you have to like, let your mind be renewed to transform, to be transformed for what's coming today. And another person in the Bible, Jeremiah, had to watch the glory of Jerusalem be reduced to ashes, rubble, and everything. He had to watch friends and family get carted away as prisoners of war. And he wrote these funeral dirges, but in the middle of the funeral dirges, he writes this, "Great is thy faithfulness." And that was like the, you know, that is the way that he was able to handle the crises that he faced, you know, and to be transformed, to be transported out of the situation and not allow himself to be dragged under by it. So, you know, again, change is inevitable. Like you said, you know, watching alumni games, you and your buddies who played won championships 20 years ago, you could be the same place on the court, but the ball just doesn't get there as fast.
That's right.
That kind of, and the guy just doesn't jump as high. It's so like, your pass that used to meet the guy at the rim no longer meets him at the rim. He's not there to put it in, you know? So that's a reality, you know, but, you know, but these things, you know, I know my Redeemer lives. I know God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I know that, I the thing is training your mind, training yourself to make those decisions. And whether it's like with a Bible verse or whether it's with some way of like entering into a devotional moment in the morning is, you know, you're going to face a day that you don't know what's going to happen. Right.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, that is true. We say this when when a referee, You get older, but the kids always stay the same. We're refereeing high school basketball. Get older every year, but the kids are always between 15 and 18 years old. So you feel your age at that. And I think that that's true. Like, I mean, that's applicable for us. Like, we can pretend like we're the same and pretend like we are who, you know, this picture of ourselves, but there's, God is doing something. Like, there's more to our life than living in just this one picture of what we thought our life was meant to be. But over the weekend, I was reading Ezra and Nehemiah, thinking I was going to preach a message on it, but God had other plans yesterday. But I think it's applicable for this because Ezra and Nehemiah is about rebuilding.
Uh-huh.
You talked about Jeremiah.
Yeah.
Ezekiel talks about, you know, the Babylonian overtaking Israel and destroying the walls, destroying the temple, all those different things.
Mm-hmm.
And Ezra comes, or I think Zerubbabel, is that his name?
Mm-hmm.
He comes and he starts the process of rebuilding the temple and rebuilding the temple and the altar so that they could be sacrificing. And then there are people in Jerusalem who remembered the former temple of Solomon. And Ezra is there and they're building the temple again. And these people that knew the temple before were crying because they remembered the former temple, and the new temple that they were building was not on the same level as the temple from Solomon's time. And it says, I can't remember where the verse is, but it says the sound of the weeping was as loud as the sound of rejoicing.
Mm.
Like the sound of the people rejoicing over the rebuilding of the temple and the rebuilding of the ark.
Exactly.
Or the rebuilding of the altar was, they were excited about it, but there was a group of people that were upset because, but it's not as good as the one that we once had.
Mm.
So like this, I think, is a picture of like, okay, yes, it's not the same as of the one that you remember, but it is still a place where the presence of the Lord will dwell, and a place where we can bring our sacrifices to the Lord and meet him there.
Mm-hmm.
And then also in Nehemiah, when he is going and he scouts out the city, and then they rebuild the wall and has opposition. We have all those different things. But even still, at the end of Nehemiah, there's still this thing where Nehemiah has concern because there are people who are not conforming to the laws that are outlined in the mm-hmm. Torah for them to worship. But
yeah.
Just thinking of these two pictures of, well, mainly the one of people rejoicing and people crying over something.
And it creates confusion
for everyone. But like there's a change that has happened, but God has been the same. In both of those, God is the same, and God is brought back to the center. And that's, I think, the picture it's pointing towards is Christ, who would come into Jerusalem and be God in that place and be the representative of the future New Jerusalem that will happen in the future. But there are going to be people who are crying about change, or there are people who are going to be rejoicing about change. But where is God in the midst of all of this?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is... I mean, that's what we've said this whole time, is God renewing my mind, bringing me back to that place where he is, that relationship with him, where I can say, yes, things are going to change. Yes, the joy of parenting is amazing, and it comes with the change that my kids will be adults and will no longer live with me.
Mm.
My involvement in whatever it is means that this will come to an end at some point, and I will no longer have that role or that title or that whatever that thing is, that attention or that designation in my life. But do I have God with me, and am I being poured into? Am I being renewed? And the picture of a river of living water is used in Scripture a lot to describe our lives as believers, that out of our belly flows a river of living water. It implies that we are being poured into by something and by someone, as opposed to our life being like the Dead Sea, where there is no change.
No life.
There is no life going into that. And it's just stagnant, stale, and nothing can live there.
Nope.
And that's our life when we're trying to cling on to things staying the same, or not letting God work in us who he is as we are in the midst of all these different things that change. And I think, I mean, things are not going to stay the same. They'll continue to change. And how do we find Christ and let Christ work in us individually so that we can be able to live and move and have our lives represent him in the midst of a world that is changing?
Yeah, it's true. Give your thoughts to him every morning. I think that's what we're saying. It's like, basically, give your thoughts to him every morning and expect the unexpected. I know these are like trite statements, but it is like, you'd be surprised. And you know, I am like a person of routine, and I like things to be a certain way. And when, you know, I'm better, I think, at change than I used to be.
Sure.
Yeah, but that comes with like being, you know, growing broken, older, being yeah, and you know, maturing, you know, becoming immature. And, you know, take no thought, Jesus said. And, you know, take no thought of, you know, you can't add a cubit to your life. Take no thought of what the day begins. I heard something, I read something somewhere, I can't remember who said it, but it was like the most mature believer is the one who is the most childlike. And he's like careless, is like in a good way. He's, you know, he's careless about what's going to happen, but he has joy because he knows that God is with him. So that's, you know, that's pretty much, you know, you're yoked with Christ.
Yeah.
His burden is light in the sense that if you weren't, if you didn't have him carrying it with you, then yeah, you'd be crushed. And, you know, someone would look at you, that's a really crushing burden, but it really isn't. And that's the thing, you know, in a couple months, you're going to hand the car keys to my oldest grandson and like wonder like, when does he come back with the car? It's like
changes are real.
It is like, it's real.
It is constant. It is
so something. That's it. So just, you know, God is constant. Change is constant. And God is not slack concerning his promise. He's coming back. He's not willing that any man should perish, but that all come to repentance. So the fact that the world keeps going the way it is the fact that he's still working out, you know, salvations for people who are here and who don't know him. He's not willing that any should perish. He wants everyone to come to repentance. That's the good news.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And he doesn't change. Well, thanks for joining us today. Make sure you like and subscribe in all the places, Spotify, YouTube, Facebook, wherever else. And be sure to check out the rest of the episodes this week as we talk about change.